In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, we confess. There is only one church, and that church is made up of all believers on earth and all the saints in heaven. Today we ponder the holiness of the church. To be holy is to be set apart from sin. Sin is what is opposite of God, so the church is holy because she has been called out of darkness and into the wonderful light of Christ. God has forgiven her all of her sins and covered her in his holy, precious blood. Her holiness is not found in herself, but it is found in Christ. Her holiness is not found in what she does, but in what Christ has done for her. He has made the church something new, something different. A beautiful bride, dressed in his beautiful garments, holy and blameless, without stain or wrinkle. The church is holy because Christ makes her holy, and he does this through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes what is Christ's and he applies it to the church. Scripture calls this sanctification, which means to make holy. What Christ achieved by his life and his death is given to the church in full by the Spirit. The law declared Jesus innocent and perfect. He met all its demands. Nothing was left short. Nothing was undone. And the Holy Spirit takes that perfect life and gives it to his church. Jesus himself says, "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." All that Christ has done, the Spirit gives to the church through the word, water, bread, and wine. Through the word and through the sacraments, the Holy Spirit keeps the church holy. He does nothing apart from Christ, for the holiness of the church is found solely in Christ. This is an inner holiness. The eye cannot see it, but we believe it, we confess it. And so we rightly call the church the communion of saints. To be a saint is to be a holy one. Remember, the church is one, comprised of those on earth and in heaven, so all who belong to this church are saints of God, including those who still dwell on this earth. You are also a saint of God, because you have been clothed with the holiness of Christ, forgiven all of your sins by the blood of Christ. St. Paul writes his letters to the saints in Colossae, to the saints in Philippi, to the saints in Galatia. So the saints are also those who believe in Christ here on this earth, those who have been saved by Christ and trust in him alone. The difference between those on earth and those in heaven, the saints on earth and the saints in heaven, is on earth we don't see that holiness of Christ, at least not all that clearly. Those in heaven see how that holiness has transformed their bodies and their minds and all that they are to be like Christ in his glorious body. So not only are the apostles saints, but also Abel is a saint. And this woman in our story is a saint. Along with your departed loved ones who have died in the faith, they too are saints of God. All have been forgiven by Christ. All are clothed in the holiness of Christ. As I said, we don't see it fully on this earth, but we do see it in part. Because those who are holy are to live holy lives, pleasing to God. What you are determines what you do. Those who are holy live holy lives. A good tree bears good fruit. What you are dictates what you do. You desire the things of God because you have been born of God. You have been called out of the world to live a holy and godly life. And this pleases God, your Savior. So these works that we have are signs that God has made us holy, sanctified us by his Holy Spirit. But they are not foolproof signs. The works of the church, of believers, are not a perfect mark, an absolute indicator of where the church is to be found, for works can deceive us. We still struggle against our fallen flesh in this world. So the holiness of Christ is not perfectly seen in our lives. The good you want to do, you have not done. The evil that you do not want to do, this you have done. You know that your sins separate you from God, deprive you of his holiness, make you unholy, and are deserving of eternal condemnation. And yet you still cannot live perfectly. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh, so that you do not always do what you want to do. So your works are not a perfect indicator of the holiness that Christ has given. The church is not holy because of how she lives. Sometimes the holiness of the church is so obscured and clouded by sin, by folly, by false teaching, and even by the fury of persecution, that the church looks nothing like a beautifully dressed bride. Look at this woman. The Pharisee wanted nothing to do with her. He was disgusted by her and was, in fact, quite offended that Christ would allow her to touch him, for she was a sinner. Everyone knew it. Outwardly, she does not have the holiness and righteousness evident in her life. And yet she is holy, while Simon is not. Jesus had forgiven her all her sins and clothed her in his holiness, while Simon was trusting in himself and in his own works. Works cannot make someone holy. Works do not make the sinner holy. Only Christ can make the sinner holy. So the holiness of the church is found solely in Christ and not in what we do. On the other side, works are deceptive because even the unbelievers have some great and godly works outwardly. Outwardly, they look kind and loving and generous. Many are selfless and are willing to give and live in love. Many even have the appearance of godliness and holiness. They belong to churches. But as Satan masquerades as an angel of light, so also his false teachers are wolves in sheep's clothing. Their works are not foolproof signs of what rests in the heart. Look at Cain and Abel. Both outwardly offer sacrifices. Both appear religious and pious and godly. Both look holy. But Abel has faith, Cain does not. Abel has the forgiveness of Christ, Cain does not. Abel has the holiness of Christ, Cain does not. And so the outward work is not a perfect indicator of the holy church. And yet far too many people in our day are looking for just that, the holiness of the church in the outward work. So they want to join a church that is kind and warm and loving and caring, a church that gets out there in the community and does all sorts of good things while doctrine and teaching are relegated to second place. What is this but looking for the holiness of the church in the works of man instead of the works of God? So they judge whether a congregation is good based on works rather than based on teaching. We cannot love works more than we love doctrine. We cannot love holiness more than we love the Word of God. Outward holiness is not a mark of the church, for at times the entire visible church looks rather unholy. And yet inwardly, God knows those who are his, and he still has preserved them in that holiness of Christ. For the church is not holy because of how she lives, but because of what Christ has done for her. Which is simply to say, we are not Christian because of what we do, but because of what Christ does for us. He forgives. He died for us. He continues to forgive. He washes us. He forgives us yet again. He communes us and feeds us and promises to never leave us or forsake us. He has bestowed upon us this wonderful garment of his righteousness. So you are a saint of God. You are a saint of God, even as those in heaven are saints of God. Yet unlike them, you still struggle against your fallen flesh. You still battle against the world and the devil. So back to the sacrifice, like Abel. Like the woman, back to the sacrifice. For in him alone are you forgiven, and in him alone are you holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.